G'day folks, welcome to another episode of the Snowy's Camping Show, joined as usual by myself, Ben, and my colleague, Lauren.
Hello.
If you haven't joined us before, or if you have and haven't yet done so, please subscribe, either via YouTube or your favourite podcast app. And you can join in on the conversation either on YouTube, the community, or comments on this video, and also on our Snowy's Camping Show. We'll just call it the Snowy's Facebook group because we're potentially going for a name change there. So, and that may have taken place by the time this gets published. But jump on there with a bunch of like-minded campers where you can share ideas, ask for advice, stories, photos, whatever you like. So today we're talking about sleeping mats, but we want to chuck our thing we did new for this season, the segments. So we've got a, or the end of this episode, we've got a story of the week, our usual just random tidbit that we
waffle about something we found interesting.
But to start with new gear, we want to touch on new gear that is coming out or has come out. Rumors we've heard of exciting things. So the main one, and we had a bit of a discussion just before this episode on this, but Petzl have redesigned their headlamp range.
Now, updated.
As we talked about before, I love Petzl headlamps. They're the one, and I know I've been in the industry for, in the outdoor industry for. quite a while.
A long time.
Well over a decade anyway.
Yeah.
And Petzl has just been the one consistent headlamp that never really, this is probably the biggest change I've seen in the Petzl headlamps. But they've always just worked. They've always been good value. My wife has got a Petzl headlamp that I reckon we've had for 2 decades and it still works.
Yeah, mine's 7+ years.
Yeah. And their latest series isn't a complete – well, it is a complete redesign, but there's not – it's not – in terms of functionality and the range, it's still the same naming convention. They still – have the same simple functionality. They're not trying to
One press button, nothing fancy, nothing crazy.
Two or three settings and a flashing setting and it goes off, probably a red light. There's none of this hold down to dim, double click for this setting, double click for that setting, pocket lock and all of those things. It's just simple to use headlamps. They followed the same naming convention, so you can still pick up a ticker or a
Tikina or an Actic.
Yep, you can still pick those up except they're just redesigned. They look pretty cool.
Yeah. Apparently they're all a bit higher in lumens though, which I think is probably what you would expect because LED chips and technology, you know, goes further. So a modern or a latest model of something will tend to have more lumens.
More light, more battery power.
More light, more battery power, exactly. Shape's a little bit different and just the physical appearance is a little bit different.
So they now don't look like where you used to be able to recognize a Petzl headlamp because they always had the same look. They now look a little bit different.
A little tiny bit different. Not drastically, but.
No.
Yeah.
No, and still feel really good quality. Still have the same tilting head. There's a few little updates like reflective features and glowing bezels and that sort of thing. But the main move is that they used to have, I think it's the Actic. There was an Actic and an Actic core that had the rechargeable battery. They've now extended that out to their Ticker headlamp as well. And I believe that Tikina, which I don't recall if it used to be, is also compatible.
Actually, prior, all of the headlamps were compatible with the core rechargeable battery, but it was only the Actic core that came with the rechargeable battery provided. But you could buy it separately and it would work with any of your other models. Mm-hmm. Now you can get the Ticker also as a core model that has the battery provided. So you have the Actic core, Ticker core, and then you have the Tikina.
Yep.
But you can still obviously optional upgrade down the track.
You can buy it separately.
Yeah, you can buy it separately.
So the non-core models just run off.
Yeah.
Just standard AAA batteries.
Correct. And I know we waffled earlier about that sort of jazz, so I'll make it quick. But in my experience with headlamps that come with a sealed battery unit, even if they're rechargeable, once they're dead, maybe 12, 18 months down the track if you're using them a lot, you have no option but to throw that whole thing out because the battery can't be replaced. So something that I love about Petzls is, like I said, I have a Tikina that's 7 years old. It still runs.
Yep.
Put a new battery in. Even if I use a rechargeable battery, the rechargeable battery dies. I just buy a new rechargeable battery pack that will sit in there.
Yep.
It's really awesome. Plus, they've reduced a bunch of plastic in their design.
Yeah.
So and they don't use plastic in their packaging anymore, apparently.
There used to be a lot of plastic in the packaging. That's gone.
Yeah.
And you don't really can't really visibly see it, but I think they've tried to, yeah, reduce the amount of plastic in like the body is what you're referring to. So
that's cool.
New petrol headlamps, we've probably ranted on about that too long, but they're really good value. They're not overpriced or anything. Mm. They're just good value headlamps and they work. Austral Fast Frame 3. Now, we know this Coleman Swagger.
Yeah. I was like, it's just a rip-off Swagger.
Yeah. You said you were going to say that.
Yeah.
But, well, yes, it is. It's a little bit like, oh, that's a popular thing. As it's a business.
Of course.
That's a popular category. We'll jump in on that as well. So same sort of thing. It's that
similar concept.
It's kind of that Swent kind of category.
It's not. I never want to hear that word again. We put that to bed.
Because I knew you'd react.
It's done. It's a 10.
You put it to bed. I've not put it to bed. Anyway, and the reason it's Swent is because when Coleman brought out the Swagger, they said it fills the void between a tent and a swag. They said Swagger. I said Swent. Anyway, Austral haven't gone down that path. They've just gone, we'll call it the Fast Frame 3.
Fast Frame 3.
Which is a compact, basically, I guess it's kind of got the dimensions of like a hiking tent, a 2 to 3 person hiking tent, but it's got a sturdier frame.
It's got
frame.
The instant up frame like their Lumos tents or whatever.
Yep.
It's basically, when you're looking at it, it's essentially the same idea / concept as the Swagger, but it's almost as if, like I've said this before, they've seen the Swagger. The Swagger's been out for a while. They've read reviews and seen what people's comments were and therefore made a tent that addresses those things but from their own range. So a couple of the things that people potentially might say, no, I don't heaps love this about the Swagger, well, Austral have changed that in their in their version. So it's potentially worth looking at.
I guess it's good because it gives you two options, like two good options.
Yeah, gives you two options.
Both got slight differences that are going to suit.
Very similar, but different options. And I mean, that's always good, isn't it? In any sort of situation, is having choice.
Yep. And a new brand of gel is called Scratch.
Yeah, it's just new to Snowies.
I think no colours and preservatives, which you love.
Yep.
Yep.
You said that as if it was an accusation of some kind, but ultimately. It's not necessarily something that's going to appeal to heaps of people, more likely to be hikers, lightweight adventurers, bicycle tourers, people doing a lot of physical activity, gels, energy bars, hydration powder. I personally really like the hydration powder, even though I might not be going on an adventure or anything like that. We do a lot of camping, even in summer. And when you're driving a fair distance and it's hot, or maybe you've been at the beach all day and you're coming back to camp and everyone's just a little bit pink, and having a drink bottle and just putting a scoop or two of that powder in there, I mean, it's better than, in my opinion, it's better than Gatorade and all of that other potential rubbish. If I offend anyone, I'm really sorry.
Brands.
I don't know, whatever. That sort of electrolyte stuff. Yep. It's just much nicer and it's good because it can help, just helps keep you hydrated through any situation. I always have a bag of hydration powder.
Yeah, we
all the time.
We took it away with us. We ended up drinking iced tea most of the time because it's what the kids drank. But yeah, I think it's good to have that in the car.
Yeah, definitely.
So on to today's topic, which is sleeping mat choices. Now, we covered off on sleep system ratings in episode 11, which was with Cedar Summit. And we talked about
a little bit about mats.
Yeah, because mats being part of a system, and a system being a sleeping bag, a sleeping mat, the pillow, and then your liners and all that all kind of works together. So we're just covering off on the mat side of it for this episode today. And are trying to point
honestly, out, one of the biggest questions that I probably get is, what sleeping mat should I choose?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really hard to give someone a hard and fast recommendation, especially when it comes to sleeping mats, because I don't want to recommend something that when they actually get it, they don't like.
I can't sleep on it,
So when that happens, sometimes a lot of the times there's a questions of like, you know, how often are you going to go camping and how do you camp and, you know, try and narrow it down to some choices.
Yeah.
So thinking about those things if you're in the market for a sleeping mat is really important.
I get the question a lot as well, and we do, you and I do the product videos, and people say, why don't you lay on it and tell us how comfortable it is? I mean, I think you can equate that to going to like Dreamland or Sleepy, whatever, Sleepy or whatever I probably overcomplicated that. Wherever you go to buy a mattress for home, right? You go there with your partner, you'll lie on the bed. I mean, they've got beds out there now that have different comfort on each side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who are we to say this mat's going to suit you? Because we don't know. It's a good mat. It provides most people with a comfortable night's sleep. We can't make any guarantees.
Because if you lie on one and I lie on one, you might be like, that's the best mat I've ever laid on. And I might be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, vice versa.
It's very personal.
It is very personal. So it's hard. It's hard to recommend a mat purely from a comfort perspective. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to recommend a mat based on requirements that isn't subjective.
The one thing you can do with most mats, though, is adjust how much air is in it.
That's true.
So for the most part, if it's a inflatable mat that you can seal air into it, you can adjust it to your own comfort.
Yeah.
So we're talking XPED, Mega Mat, Senpai Monster Mat, all of those thick ones you can adjust. So we'll try and cover off on things today that you might want to consider if you're looking at it online, but we do recommend, if possible, get into a shop somewhere, lie on a few so you get an idea for how it feels.
Yeah, for sure. And even maybe just check around. I mean, we're assuming that people don't have mats, but I know a lot of the people who listen to us already will have a sleep system. But, you know, it's even been something that's relevant for me because in the not too distant past in our Facebook group, I just really wanted to hear about what people use for their sleep systems and mats because I need to upgrade the kids' stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, asking friends or family or even if people that you know who camp have gear to try their mats out or seeing what other people do, that can also be a handy thing to
– yeah.
A handy resource.
So things to consider, weight and in particular pack size.
Weight
probably,
and pack
probably
size.
Go hand in hand because there are some mats that are quite comfortable like Austral do their – is it a leisure mat? I think they call it those blue ones. We don't sell as many of them now.
Are you talking about the fat mats or are you talking about the OG like four-wheel drive
the
mats?
The original ones, the which bonded. We're not seeing as many. They're not bonded.
I don't even think we carry them anymore.
Yeah, I think other brands still do them.
Okay.
But they're not – they're a self-inflating mat, but they're not airtight as such. If you blew air into them, the outer's not actually bonded to the inner. So if you blew it up, it'd be a big balloon. Now, they're quite comfortable, quite durable because they're not airtight. You can't put holes in them, but they're massive.
They're massive and heavy.
Hard to roll up.
Really hard to roll
Affordable.
Up.
Affordable. But if you get two doubles, that's the boot of a sedan full.
I think the Darchi all-terrain mats are made of that style.
And often it has
like the softer top, but the sides and the base are like a PVC almost.
Yep.
Very plasticky.
So they're good.
Weight and pack size, really important consideration.
Yeah, you need space to pack those.
And if, you know, like that's come up in the recent discussion that we've had with the community, if you're just one person or there's just the two of you, totally different. Mm. But if you've got a couple of kids, like in my case, four, and you are looking at those mats, I wouldn't be able to take anything else with me.
No, that's
they're massive.
That's like a station wagon's boot full just of mats.
Just of mats,
yeah,
exactly. So the in-use thickness.
In-use thickness, yeah. Now this is important. I guess if it's really firm foam, the in-use thickness isn't as important as, and I'll use say the XPED Mega Mat as an example.
Yep.
Now that. It's 10 centimetres thick, but it's been cored out and it's cored out so that it's designed to roll up small but still provide insulation and comfort when it's unrolled and be airtight. And you can pump that up really tight so you've got a nice firm sleeping surface on it. If you like a firm sleeping surface, that's fine. If you like a really soft sleeping surface, you can let air out, but at some point you're going to start to hit the bottom.
Yeah.
So a 5 centimetre mat. That's obviously going to happen sooner than a 10 centimetre. So if you like a soft mat, you need to go for something thicker.
Yeah.
In that self-inflating sort of version.
Yeah.
XPED do a 15 centimetre.
And so do Austral.
Austral do as well.
Which has pretty good reviews. It's fairly new in the sense that I reckon maybe in the last 6 months we've seen them, but they're very good. They are still – you know, a reason they do still have a reasonable price, but in terms of a 15 centimeter mat, they're like a good budget entry price. But the comments from people in terms of the quality and the use versus the price have been amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
So in terms of value for money, they seem brilliant.
A 15 centimeter mat still gets bulky though, starts to get
the
more foam,
definitely.
The bulkier it is.
Our value is an important one. And I know we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but it's especially important if you own a sleeping bag that might sort of be on the boundary of being warm or cold, depending on if you're pushing the limits of your sleeping bag. So if you have a bag that's been tested to the EN standard, which is the international standard for comfort, temperature and ratings, those sleeping bags are tested on a mat with an R value of 4, which means that if you have a mat with an R value of 2, the sleeping bag isn't going to be as warm as labeled because your mat is not insulative enough.
Yeah. So you need a mat of 4 or above for your sleeping bag, EN tested sleeping bag, to be reliable.
Yeah, reliable to the stamped standards.
Yep.
And so that's something that's really important to consider, especially if you're hiking, even though sort of obviously we're talking a bit more towards car camping and stuff like that in this episode. You know, a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to go and do Cradle Mountain hike and it's a 0 degrees sleeping bag. That should be fine for me. I'll take that and not consider that maybe their mat's only a 2.5 or something, or even a 3, and they freeze.
Yeah.
So
our value being, we've got a, we haven't written the episode down.
No.
How well the mat insulates from the ground underneath. So if you put, if you sleep on cold ground in a 20 degree, minus 20 degree bag, you're going to be cold.
Yeah.
If you sleep on cold ground on a mat, an R9 mat that's on cold ground, you're going to be warmer because that mat is insulating from the cold underneath.
One thing I want to say here as well, because it comes up a lot and surprisingly, well, I say it surprises me how often this question is asked, but potentially I just take it for granted that I know this information because I work in this industry, right? But a lot of people think that, for example, the XPED mats that have an R value of like 9.8 or something, that means that it's going to be really hot to sleep in summer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way because the R value is purely the effectiveness of that mat to insulate between varying temperatures on either side of the mat.
Mm-hmm.
The mat itself isn't hot.
No.
The mats don't generate heat.
It's not reflecting heat.
It's not reflecting heat back to you. It's not doing any of that sort of stuff. So if you're worried about a mat with a super high R value making you hot in summer, it's not going to happen. As long as you've got an appropriate sleeping bag that isn't too hot for you, there won't be any issues.
Yep.
Yeah.
So an airbed, for example, doesn't have an R value.
None, because it's just empty inside. Yep. Yeah. And obviously price is something to consider.
Yeah. I mean, go by the reviews, because as you mentioned before, Austrail, who in the past have made some quite affordable products that are still good value for money, but don't last as long as, say, something that was twice the money. But I think those Austrail ones seem to be quite good for the price.
They do seem to be really good, yeah.
XPED, or the Zempire, also good for the price. It's a step up. But then XPED, top of the rung, but good, just good all round.
Good all round. I know someone who's had one for nearly 15 years or something. It's going strong.
Not a mega mat, but an old duo sim or something, and it's going really well.
Yeah, but in terms of the good quality sleeping mats that are like, you know what, I get a decent sleep on this that's almost as good as my mattress at home, you're not going to be spending $50 to $100. You know what I mean? It's going to be a bit more than that.
Probably 200. And we're recording this in early 2023, sort of $200 and up for a good mat.
Yeah.
No, that's not to say, we're talking about styles here.
Yeah.
It's not to say an airbed's a bad thing. Airbeds are an affordable option.
Yeah.
And good for probably summer camping.
Yeah.
Pain in the bum if they get a hole, because if they get a hole in them, you've got nothing to sleep on.
My biggest gripe about the air mattresses, and when I say air mattresses, I'm talking about the classic purely made of plastic. They're like a giant balloon that's in a rectangle shape and just stopped from whatever, you know, the good old ones that you just fill up with air.
You like float down a river on them kind of
exactly,
thing.
Exactly, a lie low.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
My biggest gripe with those is that majority of people end up with a puncture and they are the kind of mats that if there is a puncture, even if it's the tiniest, tiniest little thing, you won't be sleeping. You'll wake up in the middle of the night, you'll be on the floor. They can puncture incredibly easy. Even the brands that are rugged and sort of say they're treated with puncture guard or they're puncture resistant.
Yeah.
Even just, you know, a button or something on your clothing. If you roll over too hard, it could catch a bit of the plastic and just pull it a little bit, and it creates a weakness. And they're just so susceptible to being punctured. And I think a lot of inquiries we get is, well, I've used this twice and it's starting to go flat and I want a warranty. And it's like, well, if something is punctured after you've purchased it, it's not a warranty.
A puncture on a mattress. If there's a leak in a seam.
If it's along a seam or around a valve or something relating to a manufacturing fault, then, yeah, of course it would be assessed under warranty because it hasn't been manufactured properly. But a mattress puncturing whilst you're using it is not considered a manufacturing fault because it's not a fault of the manufacturer of the product.
Yep.
And I think that a lot of people sort of potentially purchase those mattresses because they're thinking, oh, they're a budget option and we've always used them as kids or whatever, but they're realistically only getting a couple of uses out of them or they're not performing as well as they should or they're, you know, they're feeling that in the next morning they wake up and they're half empty. And in that sort of situation, I do feel like you do get what you pay for and it's worth the investment of maybe saving your pennies or borrowing a mat or something and just getting.
And by saying you get what you pay for, it doesn't mean don't buy an airbed.
No.
Just understand the shortcomings.
Correct.
Because you're still getting what you pay for.
Yeah.
You're getting a cheaper mat that potentially won't last as long.
Yeah.
Because what an airbed's sub $100, like 50 to 80 bucks or something like that for a
double problem. And you know what? That sounds, to me, I sort of almost hate that comes out of my mouth because $50 to $100 is a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? It's not like that's nothing, you know. For a lot of people, that's a couple of hours of work. Mm. And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
How, I don't know sort of what, well, it's just sort of be aware of the limitations of it.
Yeah, don't want to say don't buy it, but have a realistic expectation on what to expect from it and go prepared to fix it.
Yeah.
If you get a hole, because you can fix an airbed. You did a video on how to fix an airbed puncture. It's not.
Take a puncture
kit. The most complex thing is finding the damn hole.
Exactly. Be really careful of where you are putting your mattress. Mm. Even potentially have a picnic blanket or something that you put down before you put your mattress on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So we've bashed airbeds.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bash them.
But it's there are if you get something with foam fill, then if you get a hole, then you've still got something to sleep on. You can keep going with your camping trip, but that comes with extra cost.
Yeah.
Now there are airbeds or air mattresses from brands like Cedar Summit that and are X-Bed. Air filled and X-Bed and have insulation in them. Some do, some don't, which are aimed at the hiking sort of category.
Yeah.
I think when you go down the hiking path, there's somewhat of an expectation that because it's made lightweight, it's more prone to punctures. So usually those people go prepared for repairs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're more for ultralight hiking adventures, which is probably not quite the focus of this.
No. Mind you, though, the sin mats that I think I mentioned to you before is pretty flexible. Like Sonia, someone who works with us in our office, she has a sin mat. She takes it traveling. So it's small enough to pack up. She wants to go and visit family or friends in Melbourne. She just chucks it in her bag. Now it's comfortable enough.
Sin mat's the orange one from X-Bed, which has got tubes and it's full of synthetic insulation.
Yeah, but they're not made anymore. So I think the ones now, the current versions of them, maybe a Versa, or we don't stock sin mats now.
Okay, right.
But the ones we have in our range are called the Versas or something.
Okay.
And they're ones that I've potentially been looking at because they're quite comfortable.
They do a double as well.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But they aren't necessarily only for hiking. Like some of the Cedar Summit, super lightweight, super small ones, of course, only for hiking. But I think there are some other ones that like even the Comfort Plus that Cedar Summit do, that's really big rectangular. You could, especially if you're someone who's ultra light, you're a car camper, you have a sedan, maybe you do four wheel driving, but you need to be quite minimalist and lightweight for your GBMs. You have a bunch of kids, you need to space save. There is sort of a category of mats that have a foot in hiking and a foot in camping and they're still suitable. And I think they're probably a bit underrated.
That's probably a good segue to the next thing because we talk about foam mats and it reminds me of the Dometic Pico Swags who come out with a inflatable mat inside.
Yeah.
And the swag's tiny, right? This is a canvas swag, not mm-hmm. quite as heavy duty fabrics, but it's a tiny swag. Mm-hmm. And now foam mats are somewhat indestructible. You can get punctures in them. You've always got a mat yeah. to sleep on, but they don't pack up small, and it's why swags pack up so big, usually because of the foam mat. The smaller swags quite often have a less dense foam mat in it that isn't as comfortable.
Yeah.
Now, you can turn a lot of big chunky swags into a much smaller swag by adding the mat, like you said then, an air-filled mat from it's kind of got their foot in hiking and a foot in camping. Mm. That's going to make that swag pack down way smaller.
Yeah.
Because the mat, you know, flattens down to nothing rather than being big chunky foam. So,
yeah.
But foam mats, look, I've got a few old foam mats. They're old Austral ones that the kids use for sleepovers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because there's cats and stuff running around in the house, I can roll it out on the floor and know the cats aren't going to puncture it.
Yeah.
We've used them for camping before, but they're bulkier. They're lightweight, so you could strap them to the roof in a waterproof bag if you like.
Mm.
They're affordable. They don't go flat, but they're bulky.
That's Do you remember the days when we were a kid and you just sort of slept on a glorified yoga mat?
Those are 1 centimeter.
The closed cell phone. Yeah.
They're still around. They're really good.
I know they're still around, but like when we were kids, that was what you got.
Often your camper. I remember going on a hike with my dad's old like canvas haversack. There's no frame in it. Just wearing them. Because it was packed. It's just this ball on my back with 2 straps over my shoulders and one of those blue things strapped on top. And there you go. Off you go.
We're pretty lucky, aren't we, really?
Nowadays.
Yeah. With our camp sleeping options. Absolutely. It's pretty luxurious. Yeah. Part of me wonders what the next 10 years is going to bring in terms of technology for that sort of stuff. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. The self-inflating is kind of where it's at, really. That's the best balance of everything. They pack up small. They inflate.
They pack up small for what they are.
They self-inflating is a little bit of a misnomer because most of them inflate most of the way by themselves.
What, like 70, 80% by themselves?
And then just need a little bit of air to pump it all the way
out. And for a lot of people, the way they self-inflate themselves is enough.
Usually, yeah.
But, you know, if you're – and especially for kids, but if you are an adult or maybe you're a side sleeper or, you know, you're a bigger person, you might need to put a bit of air in it.
Yeah.
And it's not really that big a deal.
They're airtight, so the outside is bonded to the foam inside, which means you can blow them up tight. You don't get a ballooning of the
fabric. Bonded means ultimately that the foam inside is glued to the external material. Yep. So as it inflates, the external material is pulling the foam open as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does mean that you need to look after them because if you've got lots of border oils going into the foam, onto the outer, then that can break that foam, that glue down and then debonds, is that a word?
Debonds.
And then it'll start to balloon up.
And it's also important to why if you need to put more air in, you should consider doing it manually with your breath. A lot of stuff's antifungal. It's not like you're going to make the inside of your mattress moldy because that doesn't really exist anymore. But using an electric pump, a lot of people are like, easy, I'll use an electric pump. But if you accidentally overinflate, you'll tear that bonding, you'll tear that fabric away from the foam and then you'll get this air bubble on your mat and it'll just be hideous and you cannot fix it. So just be cautious.
Use a really basic 12-volt pump that doesn't have the guts to overinflate it. Don't go use your like air compressor for your car
because you'll
tear it to pieces. And the other benefit of a self-inflating mat is there's foam in there and they're still prone to punctures. Yeah. But if you do get a puncture overnight, you've still got some foam that you're sleeping on that's providing some insulation at least from underneath. So,
in terms of width, another question we get a lot is that it doesn't correlate to residential sizes. So if you're buying a queen camp mat, it's not going to be the same size as your queen bed at home. If you're buying a double camp mat, it's not going to be the size of your double camp mat at home. Same with singles, king singles, et cetera. So realistically, I reckon single mats range anywhere from high 50s to sort of low 60s, right the way through to 75 to 80 on average.
Yeah, I think maybe up to 90.
One that you can get that's 90, which is the Black Diamond Hexatherm 3D, Black Wolf Diamond 3D. It's the green one.
Yep.
That will fit perfectly in a swag, which is 900 wide.
Yep. Doubles are 120,
doubles are usually around 130, 132. Yep. And same with queens. Generally, if you see double and queen, they're interchangeable. I know it's confusing, but it depends what brand it is. Like, for example, an XBet double mat versus a black diamond queen, a hexatherm, but the standard red one, they're the same width.
Yeah.
One's called a queen, one's called a double. It doesn't matter. The hexatherm, I mentioned the hexatherm that is a 900 wide mat swag. They do a 1500 wide,
which is all closer to a true double.
Huge, which is closer to a true double. And I think Oz Trail Fat Mat is a 1500 as well.
Okay. So we have seen in the last probably year a few coming out that are more true queen sizes.
But they're in the minority. So so be aware if you're looking at a double, it's going to be around 130, 132.
And just before you go, I want a double mat, just before you buy it, have a look at what space you've got in your tent as well. Because I know I've got an RV5 and I can't put two double mats next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be about 130, I think. So it'd be the width. Yeah. So,
well, because what is it? I think it's 260 wide in an RV5. And if you put two 132s together, then it's 164. But because the frame's on the inside, you lose about 5 centimeters either way.
Yep.
So even if you do decide to shove it in, it's going to be squished on the edge.
Yeah. So if you're then going through a queen in that mix, it's supposedly a 5-person tent, but those tent size ratings are based on like an individual lying there sort of head to toe, not on a big mat. So just consider that with the sizing.
Yeah, and we have all of our sizes listed on our website, and I'm sure other retailers will do the same thing, but just be mindful that basically, and also just because someone says, it's a double, and someone else says, it's a double, doesn't mean the size is going to be exactly the same. Just triple check that sort of stuff when you're choosing.
External dimensions on our website.
Yeah.
So fitted sheets, good segue. So a double fitted sheet is going to be loose on a double self-inflating mat.
Yeah.
Queen's going to be too big. But, hey, look, I put in it and they just fit loose. It doesn't fit loose, like you've been at home, but it still does the job, especially fitted sheet. It just straps in underneath.
You can get specific fitted sheets from certain brands, like Black Wolf do one, XPED do one. I think someone else does one off the top of my head. I can't remember on our website.
Only two brands,
but you can get specific fitted sheets for them. Otherwise, you can just use a home double one.
Yep.
I recommend it wherever possible because it's a lot harder to clean a mattress than it is to chuck a sheet in the wash.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
I set my swag up on my with a self-inflating mat up inside, just like I make my bed at home. So it's a sheet and then a top sheet and then a quilt.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
Mat couplers. So that's something that goes around the mats to hold them together. If you want to make a double out of two singles, which is a good way to make probably more of a true queen, I suppose.
If space isn't a consideration for you necessarily, an average double mat is what, 132, I think we've just said. If you decide that you want a 75-centimeter wide mat and you get two of them, that's a 150 mat.
Yep.
I mean, you can buy 150 mats already, but then you've also got the flexibility of if one of you goes away for a weekend by yourself or you want to lend one to the kids or someone has a sleepover, there's a bit more flexibility there. But, mat couplers are a really great idea.
But if you've got a double sheet that goes over that, it kind of holds them together anyway. So
true. And also this is a good segue into other considerations, which is compatibilities with stretchers. So obviously this is a mattress episode, so we're not delving into stretchers necessarily. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are like, I want a double mattress to go on this double stretcher. Probably better that you don't get a double mattress to go on a double stretcher. Fully recommend those mat couplers and two single mats. It just allows those two single mats to sit really evenly between the central bar and the outside bar. But the coupler keeps them together and then you don't have to worry about that big hump in the middle.
So for those who don't quite understand that, all the double stretchers are basically two stretchers, but there's just one bar joining them in the middle. There's no
– Yeah.
I don't know of any – oh, there is one that I've seen, but it's quite complex and requires a lot of tension to sort of create a big sort of trampoline to sleep on. But most of them have two slings with a bar down the middle. And if you put a double mat on there, you're just both kind of sleeping on a slope.
And you sort of both roll away to the edges. Yeah. So the two singles are a much better option there.
Another question I've had all the time or get all the time, and I think you probably have too, is what mat should I use for my swag? And the answer is pretty simple, really. Check the dimensions of your swag. Probably the best place to start is the dimensions of the mat you're taking out of the swag.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably not going to find a mat that's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Find something that's pretty close. Preferably shorter or narrower, not longer. It's going to be harder to fit something in that's longer or wider. You know, a centimeter or two is probably all right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, like 1100 centimeter wide swag. Sorry, 1100 millimeter. Third time lucky.
Yeah.
You could put a 90 centimeter wide mat in it.
Of course you can.
The swag's still going to work. You're just going to have storage for your gear. If it's just one person, that's fine.
Yeah.
So just choose a mat that works for you. Make sure it's long enough for you. If you're really short, you don't even have to get a mat that fills the entire length of the swag.
Yeah, exactly.
If you do want something that fills the entire, you know, base of the swag, then look for something in that brand that fits, like Darchi's all-terrain mats. All-terrain mats are made to fit a 900, 1100, 1400 swag.
Yeah.
So, otherwise, if you want to upgrade to like an Exped Mega Mat, then they don't come in all those different dimensions. You're stuck with, is it 80 wide, I think?
Yeah, best 77, I think.
77, yep. By 192, whatever it is, long, or 210.
Just got to pick your best fit.
Just got to go with that. So yeah.
The other thing is, if you can roll the mattress up to store it, you can roll it up within a swag.
Yep. Yes.
So yeah, if that's a mattress that you can physically roll up when you're chucking it in the cupboard, if you're using it for car camping, you can also roll it up inside your swag.
It protects it too. I keep my self-inflating mat in the swag. Yeah. It's protected by the, and I use it in the tent.
Yeah.
So it's, when it's on the roof, it's protected by the canvas.
Yeah.
It's good. And I awesome. Store it in the shed like that too. All right. Anyway, I think that's it for mats.
But it is.
Our story of the week. It's the exciting bit of the episode.
Yeah. So
everyone sit around and wait for. So
recently we, as we often do, third-hand information through other areas of Snowies, which is cool, is somebody recently had a rooftop tent. It was relatively brand new. I think it might have even been their first trip out on it. And in the afternoon when they were not in it, fortunately, a stomping huge monster of a branch fell from the canopy of the trees around them straight through the rooftop tent, ripped all the canvas, giant gaping holes, all the mesh hanging down, chunks of like logs and bark and bits and pieces inside the rooftop tent. It was carnage. If there were people in there, they would have died, I reckon.
Yeah.
Or been really badly injured. Outside of a hammered in the you know, what is it, aluminium molding or whatever it is.
Yeah, the base plates and stuff, yeah.
It's crazy.
So I saw photos. You shared it with me.
Yeah.
It was a eye-opening photo that makes you not want to camp under trees.
Not want to camp under trees at all.
If I was under that.
And I think for me, obviously – general rule of thumb when you're camping, don't camp under trees. Like that's, but you know, also there is a certain trade off there because it's like, well, if you need shade and it's really hot and there's always, you always got to weigh up these things, right? When you're camping. The thing that I found interesting is there is, you know, a photo of the dude holding the actual branch, obviously not including the chunks that have broken off and landed inside but it wouldn't necessarily be a branch that you would look at and think if that fell, that would do a lot of damage because it wasn't overly thick. It was very long. It was like 7 meters long or something, but it was mostly quite thin. But obviously the weight of it and how far it fell and, you know, and I just thought for me, my perspective, I was like, oh, that branch is way thinner than I thought it would be for the damage that's occurred to that tent.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't even maybe take that risk if you pull up and you're like, I really need some shade and there's only a couple of thinner branches up there. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just crazy. Have a look up and around. Try and stay clear of any falling branches. You can still take advantage of shade if you're camped not far from the tree.
Yeah.
In the afternoon and morning sun. So
try the cast of the shade. But anyway, that was really crazy and stay safe out there. Rooftop tenters.
Don't camp under, well, any tenters.
Any tenters, yeah, that's true.
Don't camp under branches and that branch will put a hole in your air mat.
Yes. That's a nice one. Thanks for tuning in for another episode. Guys, don't forget again to subscribe wherever you're listening and we will catch you later next week.
See you later.